You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the November 2025 issue of Vanity Fair magazine. This is Vanity Fair, Part A. Here's the continuation of Broken Hearted by Evgenia Peretz. With the help of Robert Mandeltort, an outside accountant who'd worked at the company since the 90s, now acting as mediator, Asher proposed revising the old oral agreement. For 30 years, they had split the revenue equally. Now, she suggested, they would separate their commissions into Guggenheim's bucket and Asher's bucket, with each drawing individual revenue from their individual sales. Any commission that involved them both would go to the old combined pool. Here we get to the crux of the dispute. Asher contends Guggenheim verbally agreed to the proposal and that they even hammered out details about pay structures. According to Nikas, once the agreement was made, Guggenheim was satisfied and invited Asher to her upcoming wedding. Sharon, Guggenheim's lawyer, disputes this account. BGA's position is that so-called mediation was a charade designed to extract lopsided terms in Ms. Asher's favor, which failed and never resulted in Ms. Asher's compensation terms changing. Ms. Asher can point to no writing between her and Ms. Guggenheim ever confirming any change in terms. Nikas counters that there had never been a written agreement regarding the business in the first place. In fact, Guggenheim's complaint is premised on an oral agreement between the parties, he says. Whatever the case, when Asher started her own Asher Art Group in March 2023, she claims she was following through exactly with what had been agreed upon, while Guggenheim experienced it as a betrayal. As Asher, in effect, stealing part of the company Guggenheim had built over 40 years. In April 2024, Guggenheim fired Asher and months later filed a complaint, alleging that Asher had secretly launched her own competitive art advisory business while she was a fiduciary of BGA, and that Asher had used company funds for personal expenses. The suit also names Mandeltort and Asher's assistant Jessica Lewis for being liable in aiding and abetting Asher. Through their attorneys, Mandeltort and Lewis declined to comment. It was under the radar, Guggenheim says, of her complaint. It had no mudslinging, no lying. It had to be done. I was not happy. I wasn't gleefully doing it. The personal expense piece emerges as fairly negligible, especially in light of Guggenheim's own alleged use of company funds. The boldness was in the amount she was asking from Asher, $20.5 million. As Nikas explains, that figure is based on potential money that Asher could make buying and selling for her current clients, like Sussman. It's outrageous, says Sussman of Guggenheim's position, acknowledging that he doesn't know the terms of their arrangement. I've met Barbara three times. She's never advised me about anything. He and others from both sides were kept in the dark about the tensions brewing. I've had a lot of intimate conversations with her, Ovitz says. I will tell you they weren't about Abigail, he says. When Barbara told me they had a problem, I said, well, just settle it. You don't want to get into these issues in the press. You just don't want to do that. Yet, here we are. In fact, discussions were had between the sides about settling. According to Nikas, they were productive. He and Asher believed Guggenheim was acting in good faith. All that changed, he says, when they learned of an article that Art News was planning, which they believed Guggenheim was participating in and suspected would be a hit piece aimed at destroying Asher's reputation. At that point, Asher's team pounced and filed their suit. An Art News story came out, but it wasn't a hit job. Even among Asher's defenders, there's a lingering uneasiness about the harsh, personal tone of the complaint, which feels incongruous with the woman they know. It was a little sordid, but who am I to judge, says Valentin. But he insists, for her, this has been really, really difficult. And I believe that because she's not that sort of person, but of course she has to defend herself. And New York litigators are known for being very aggressive, and unfortunately, she has to go along with whatever she's being told is the best strategy, which is to counterattack. But I know, because I know Abigail very well, that it's not her style. Guggenheim predicts that Asher's nuclear approach will backfire. I think she's tarnishing her own reputation more because it's so crazy. In September, her attorney filed a motion to dismiss Asher's outrageously trashy allegations on the grounds that its sole intention was to shame Guggenheim to the point where she'd renegotiate a settlement. Or rather, where she'd negotiate a settlement. Now, ratcheting up the language on her side, the motion to dismiss added that Asher is a liar, a fraudster, a bully, and a thief. To which Nikas responds, Guggenheim started this dispute by filing her meritless complaint in an effort to bully Asher into an extortionate settlement. For now, Guggenheim is projecting confidence. She shares that she was just lecturing in Newport, Rhode Island, and that in the past 2 weeks, she's nabbed two new clients. But looking ahead at months of litigation, it's hard to see any winners. You'll see who keeps the clients and who is going to earn a living and who isn't, says Ovitz. But at Barbara's stage of her life, and Abigail's, they're not spring chickens, and this is not a good time for this in their lives, either of them. The battle has elicited a touch of schadenfreude and an opportunity for score settling in some quarters. As controversial L.A. collector Stefan Simkowitz puts it, the case reveals the broader rot in the system, where all the kissy-kissy politeness amounts to a veil of bullshit. As a case in point, he reports how Guggenheim recently flattered him by inviting him as her date to a dinner for Mocha. She was driving a Rolls, very elegant white pants. So nice to see someone of that age, just so beautiful and elegant. I love her for that. He turned around, only to learn that she was telling Artist not to do business with him. It's quite ironic, he says, acknowledging that he doesn't know the details of the complaints. He's the bogeyman. No, I'm not the bogeyman. It's the well-dressed lady in the nice white suit. So the knives are out. Right now, rather than settle, both women seem ready to spend a fortune on the pleasures of trying to publicly crush one's opponent in a courtroom. It's the kind of scorched earth divorce that can only happen between a couple where once upon a time there was a great love. The artist is present. Opening photos, moving pictures. Isabel Brorman's depiction of a protest outside 26 Federal Plaza in June. There's a level of personal memory and shock that's infused into the work, she says, and an ICE detention in a courthouse waiting room. As ICE continues mass detainments and deportations, artist Isabel Brorman has spent months inside the New York City Federal Immigration Court. She spoke with Keziah Weir about the scenes of brutality and emotional strength she's documented in rooms where cameras aren't allowed. The family, man, woman, baby, arrived on the 12th floor of the Jacob K. Javits Federal Building on a warm day in August. The 41-story edifice of bureaucracy, better known as 26 Federal Plaza, is one in a herd of government buildings sprawled across an eerily unpopulated quadrant of Manhattan, a few blocks from the Brooklyn Bridge and a straight shot up the center of the city from where gold leaf glints on the Statue of Liberty's torch. When the family entered the waiting area, Isabel Brorman, the only sketch artist permitted in the court, was sitting inside the adjoining courtroom that would host the immigration hearing for which they'd come. It's kind of like the last bastion of the American dream, she says, of the process by which undocumented immigrants seek asylum and naturalization. But these hearings, a preliminary step in that long road, became a gamble of the highest stakes when the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency responded to President Donald Trump's Protecting the American People Against Invasion executive order by deploying agents to immigration court hearings and executing unprecedented detainments, regardless of the fact that hearings often adjourn with judges telling respondents to return for another hearing in a year or so. Brorman sketched at 26 Federal Plaza for the first time in June, and when we spoke in September, had been there nearly every day for more than 2 months, arriving at 8:30 a.m. and leaving in the afternoon. Sketch artists have long served as an intermediary between court proceedings and public interest in them. In the 19th century, Theodore R. Davis sketched a moody scene at Andrew Johnson's Senate impeachment hearing. In the 20th, the combat artist Howard Brody captured Sirhan Sirhan and Charles Manson on the stand. In an era of 54-megapixel smartphone cameras and streaming court TV, the sketches might seem like a gratuitous holdover from a bygone era. And yet, Brorman's work offers something unique. I'm not taking a picture, she says. There's a level of personal memory and shock that's infused into the work. And while she sketched and painted such high-profile proceedings as the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard defamation trial and Trump's criminal indictment, she told me that her work has never had utility like it does right now. While photographers and journalists can report from the hallways and outside the building, the waiting rooms and hearings, like those of most federal cases, are typically off-limits to them. None of them, including Brorman, is allowed in the stairwells or on the building's 10th floor, which ICE uses as a holding facility for detained immigrants. Her work ranges from quick-line drawings to intricate Boschian scenes that incorporate depictions of the respondents and their families, how strong they are, and how together they are in a way that I've never seen in my life. Judges flanked by flags, protesters outside the building, masked and vest-clad ICE agents holding printed-out lists of names that they roll up and idly tap against their legs. There's a lot of excessive intimidation, she says. A lot of lulls, in which the hallways are so quiet, you can hear the agents clinking their handcuffs like a song. When agents have asked to see the work, they see it as cool because that's what they're going for. Brohrmann includes text, too, taking down her own impressions as well as snippets of overheard quotes. Ice afuera, or ice outside. Are you afraid to return to your country? Respondents, she says, sometimes arrive with lists of their own, bearing the names of family members who have been killed in their country of origin. Brohrmann departs from her contemporaries not only in style, but in her downtown art scene sensibility. She met her gallerist, Will Schott, at a drunk versus stoned soccer game hosted in Montauk by the Tribeca dealer Max Levi, and received her master's from Pratt, where she was working on what she describes as a lot of personal excavation stuff that occupied a space between fantasy and diary. I was coming out of a really long-term abusive situation, and I was using painting and mixed media collage to find ways to retool traditional painting practice. In 2022, Brohrmann was the first named plaintiff among eight former students in a lawsuit against the University of Michigan and her undergraduate professor there, Bruce Conforth, whom multiple former students alleged sexually assaulted and harassed them. The suit was filed outside Michigan's statute of limitations and was dismissed. But it was amid the proceedings that she began watching coverage of Depp v. Heard, feeling guilty for her voyeurism, and in an effort to make something of her interest, she decamped to Fairfax County, Virginia, to paint the trial in real time. I've always been a fan of gonzo journalism, she says. About a year later, she brought her pencils and watercolors into Trump's Manhattan criminal indictment, making a performance of her attendance in 80-esque outfits selected by the designer Mia Vesper, whose Lower East Side brick and mortar closed last year. Following the ear graze of an assassination attempt, she pitched herself to paint Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and he said yes. She's still angling to do his presidential portrait because, she says, all of her work is essentially an ongoing portrait of the president. I got a lot of shit for drawing Trump, and I still get a lot of shit about what side I'm on, but I'm like, this is a big project, and I don't know where it's going, Brohrmann says. Portraiture isn't always valorous. Scenes aren't always valorous. She notes Francisco Goya, who in his capacity as first court painter, made what are now recognized as critical and satirical portraits of Spain's monarchs and nobility. It's about following your own vision, which is the only way to slip through a broad stroke, occupational big force thing. Today, her courtroom uniform consists of pants and vintage blazers with padded shoulders that she pairs with Isabel Marant sneakers or Salomon Ecom de Garçon shoes she scored on sale, both of which have hefty platforms. I'm trying to get a view, to entertain the kids in the building, with whom she also shares paper and pencil so they can draw. She gets her hands checked out each week by the nail artist Maya Kwajiri, whose elaborate three-dimensional creations have adorned the fingers of Bad Bunny, Cardi B, and models on the Balenciaga catwalk and in a Marc Jacobs campaign. When we speak, Brohrmann's sporting a woman emerging from a field of flowers, stars and glitter, and alligator eyeballs that mesmerize the boys. She's asked for one recurring motif, droplets that ripple over the acrylic like ice melting, and tiny transparent cubes set on top of orange flames. That's my little personal protest. Inside 26 Federal Plaza on that day in August, Brohrmann chronicled what unfolded for the family of three. The father, whose name Brohrmann later learned to be Jamal Fadel, entered the courtroom and sat in front of Brohrmann. They both watched as, in the otherwise empty waiting room, the ICE agent sat down across from the woman who began rocking her baby. And then another agent came and sat right next to her, Brohrmann says. The day dragged on. When Brohrmann passed through the waiting room following a bathroom break, the woman had begun to cry, a steady stream of tears that stained her shirt. Six more agents had joined her. They're big guys. They're armed. They have belts. They have masks. They have vests, Proerman says. The contrast of the respondents, scared and frantic, with the geometry and repetition of the agents, was like a Jacob Lawrence painting. The tension rose. The judge adjourned the man's hearing, and he exited the courtroom. "You're coming with us," one of the agents told him. He handed his documents to his partner, reached into the stroller to pick up his child, and at that point, all of the agents jumped up and surrounded the stroller with the baby in it and wouldn't let go of the stroller. And then there was yelling, and the clerk closed the courtroom door. The waiting room doors closed. We were all stuck, Broerman says. I have never done this because I know that I could sacrifice my spot. But I started screaming, "Let the mother and the baby out!" Amid the scrum, the father began to shout that this was America, that America was supposed to be free. An agent handcuffed him, escorted him into the hallway, through the gauntlet of press to the stairwell. I stayed in the waiting room. A security guard came and closed the door, Proerman says. And the mother was just crying and holding the baby. And I drew that. State of the Art, with portraits by Jeff Hendrickson. In an ever-shifting, always fickle art market, an emerging crop of talent has begun to attract the fresh attention of the collector class, many denizens of which can't even get off the waiting list for their work. Nate Freeman presents a guide to the artist your advisor needs to know right now. In the photos, Crest of the Wave, Florian Kruer in his Bronx studio, Kathleen Ryan's Bad Lemon Turquoise 2024, Pisca alla Escandalata, a 2024 work by Jill Maliti from Fiamma Rossa at Sant'Andrea de Scafis, Rome, Abex meets Sci-Fi, Lauren Quinn's Apricity 2024, Lucy Bull's Towering 1313, 2024, Chase Hall, Tyler Mitchell, Convivial Conversation, 2024, Calvin Marcus, Untitled, 2022, Amoaka Boafu's Regal Floral One Piece, 2025, A Veritable Galaxy, Cy Gavin's Untitled, Stars, 2021, Anna Wyant in her home studio, Ulala Imai's Surreal Green Gables, 2022. The Impressionist got blurry. The Abex painters blasted apart figuration after the ravages of World War II. The YBAs went full Pomo Neo-Duchampian to address late-stage capitalism. What links the artist making vital art now? Well, quite a lot. This generation's group is collectively grappling with a tumultuous decade. These artists came of age when social media rewired our brains following pandemic lockdowns, when excess screen time beckoned to the old pastoral outdoors of the landscapist from centuries ago, when current events warped the idea of the straightforward narrative, when AI caused a reevaluation of the whole idea of artistic creation. Over the last few years, a specific class of superlative artists has emerged. Even during the recent moment of art market contraction, the work coming from this crew commanded astounding prices. Important galleries have closed, but lots of other shops, from the global mega galleries to the up-and-coming almost blue chips, are finding ways to not just survive, but thrive. And a lot of that has to do with this new wave of world-conquering artists. Even as secondary market prices dropped, top collectors demand fresh material by distinctive voices, and they're fighting to just get on the waiting list to buy their works. Coming up with 33 names was not a task taken lightly. The idea? Focus not necessarily on young artists, but artists who have broken into the upper echelon in the last 5 years. And that's why you won't see here the artists who spent the years before the pandemic at mega galleries and scouring museum shows. Nijikeka Akunyeli Crosby, Jonas Wood, Amy Sherald, Simone Lee, Nicole Eisenman, Rashid Johnson, Nicholas Party, Avery Singer, just to name a few. All fantastic artists, but a new wave rises. On to the due diligence. These artists were chosen after a vigorous period of research and reporting that included grilling gallerists and advisors, sneaking a peek at recent acquisitions by major institutions, tracking which artist got poached by galleries with locations on multiple continents, shaking down dealers for primary market prices, watching who was popping off 10 times the estimate at auction, and clocking what was hanging on the walls of the homes of major collectors. Taken together, and in no particular order, this is the set of artists who right now are making work that will hang on the walls of our institutions and break records at auction for decades to come. The color phenom. Jade Fadujutimi, age 32, based in London, gallery rep Skagosian Taka Ishii in Tokyo. Elevator pitch, queen of young English abstract painters. Known associates, Gagosian's Millicent Wilner. Big break, Tate acquired a work in 2019 when she was 26, making her the youngest artist to enter the collection. Studio set up, a warehouse in southeast London. Sticker shock, nearly $2 million at Christie's for the woven warped garden of Ponder. Fancy Pants collectors, Pamela Joyner, Texas legend Howard Reshofsky, Komal Shah. The new Fragonar, Floria Yukonovich, age 34, based in London. Gallery reps, Hauser and Worth, Victoria Miro. Elevator pitch, neo-rococo phenom, who has admitted to finding inspiration in Katy Perry. Known associates, writer Katie Hessel. Big break, three-person show with Victoria Miro in 2019. Studio set up, a converted Victorian biscuit factory in South London. Sticker shock, in March 2022, her painting Warm, Wet, and Wild 2020 sold for $3.6 million, more than 13 times its high estimate. Fancy Pants collectors, the UK's government art collection. During the Rishi Sunak regime, imagination, life is your creation, hung at 10 Downing Street. The Dreamweaver, Jinyi Cheng, age 35, based in Paris. Gallery rep, Matthew Marks. Elevator pitch, disturbing interactions between strangers painted so fiercely you'll never forget them. Known associates, Matthew Marks director Beau Rutland, Paris art dealers Danielle Balice and Alexander Hertling. Big break, the 2 years she spent in Amsterdam in 2016 and 2017 were huge for her. I had a beautiful Northlight studio facing the canal, and I was surrounded by artists and thinkers. Studio locale, a hidden space down an alley in the 20th Sticker Shock in 2022. A painting, estimated to sell for around $60,000, came up for auction at Sotheby's in Hong Kong. It sold for $562,000. Fancy Pants collectors, François-Henri Pinault, Pauline Carpitas, Craig Robbins, Tony Salome. The Goat, El Greco, so unique in his time and in any time. Maybe overrated. I always had a hard time understanding Cézanne, but this year I'm actually starting to get into his work. The Historian, Chase Hall, age 32, based in upstate New York, East Village. Gallery reps, David Kordansky Gallery, Gallery Eva Prischhuber. Elevator pitch, a sprawling investigation of the black experience in America, painted using coffee grounds. Known associates, a gigantic Great Dane named Paisley, Tyler the Creator. Big break attracted the attention of Antoine Sargent after introducing himself in 2018. By 2020, he had a residency at Mass Mocha. Studio set up, a former Bible binding factory and whiskey distillery in upstate New York. Fancy Pants collectors, Bernard Lumpkin, Marty Eisenberg, A.C. Hudgens. After Hours Vibe, when asked about his favorite restaurants, Hall listed three Manhattan classics. Il Buco, Sette Mezzo, Sobaya. The Goat, Charles White, Lynette Yadom Boyke, David Hammonds, or Clifford Still. Next photo, the color phenom. London-based Jade Fadrujitimi became the youngest artist ever to have work in the Tate Gallery collection in 2019. The Master, Anna Wyant, age 30, based in Manhattan. Gallery rep, Gagosian. Elevator pitch, Magritte meets John Curran with a gonzo Gen Z spin. Known associates, Muse Eileen Kelly, collector Mark Jacobs. Big break, my 2021 show at Bloom & Poe, L.A., in large part because the work felt like a breakthrough. Studio locale, a large room in her Classic Six pre-war apartment. Sticker shock, Falling Woman, $1.6 million. Summertime, $1.5 million. Fancy Pants Collectors, Wendy Murdoch, Glenn Furman, Chris Jenner, Hang Spot, Anything in Times Square, only on weekdays, preferably in the afternoon. Am I on TikTok? No. The Goat, Baltus. The Golden State Still Lifer, Hillary Pessis, age 46, based in Los Angeles. Gallery rep, David Kordansky, Timothy Taylor. Elevator pitch, dreamy California interiors for brainy New York types. Known associates, her Eagle Rock studio mates, Leah Halloran, Lily Stockman, Mindy Shapiro, Jake Longstreth, and Nancy Baker Cahill. Big break, moving to L.A. in 2013 may have something to do with it, or having my first New York show shortly after. There were a lot of factors, including luck, that came together for me just at the right time. Studio locale, the aforementioned Eagle Rock Complex, where the tenants host a happy hour with great tacos every year during Freeze L.A. Sticker Shock, Fish and Bird sold for $1.25 million in 2022, and even as the market took a downturn in 2024, Wine at Jay's sold for $1.26 million, three times its low estimate. Fancy Pants Collectors, Salome, the young mega patrons Benjamin Cocksure and Justine Freeman. After Hours Vibe, Blair's, a neighborhood Italian joint with an arty energy. All the plates and bowls are made at the Founders Pottery Studio. The Goat, an unexpected choice. Gabriel Munter, a German expressionist painter and founding member of Der Blaue Reiter, but much lesser known than Kandinsky and Mark. Maybe overrated, Rembrandt, so brown. The Diamond Apple, Kathleen Ryan, age 41, based in Jersey City. Gallery reps, Karma Gagosian. Elevator pitch, rotten fruit rendered in gemstones. Sculptures with a jaw-dropping how-did-she-do-that quality. Known associates, Karma founder Brendan Dugan, Francois Gebali. Big break, Jasper Sharp, the contemporary curator at the Kunsthistorisches Museum in Vienna, gave Ryan her first institutional show in 2017. Or maybe it was when Britney Spears posted my Bad Peach sculpture on Instagram, she says. Studio setup, a 10,000-square-foot warehouse in Hoboken. Sticker Shock, in 2024, a generous attendee of Art Crush in Aspen paid $280,000 for Bad Lemon Cloud. 2024, a glittering, rotting slice of citrus. Fancy Pants Collectors, Kristen Sveas, Alice Walton's Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Mocha, L.A., Rockstar status, Ryan contributed artwork for the cover of Wilco's 2024 album, Hot Sun, Cool Shroud. After Hours Vibe, Casablanca, the Venice, California restaurant, improbably obsessed with the classic Humphrey Bogart film. The Illustrated Man, Florian Kruer, age 38, based in New York City. Gallery rep, Michael Werner. Elevator pitch, the world's most celebrated painter who also has face tattoos. Known associates, the artist who studied with him at the Kunstakademie Düsseldorf under the master Peter Doig, Konstantin Nisch, Christoph Mattis, Tim Brewer, Lottie Maywald, and Rafaela Simon. Big break, coming to New York City in 2019 definitely marked a shift. It opened up a lot for me on several levels, personally as well as professionally. Secret exposure. The curator Parinaz Mogadasi, Doig's wife, gave Kruer a show at her Hush Hush project space, Tramps, that used to take over a few stalls at a Chinatown mall under the Manhattan Bridge. Studio set up, top floor of a building in Hunts Point, the Bronx. Fancy Pants Collectors, Pinot, Pierre Chen, Bob Rennie. uniform, the looks from the Lowe Spring-Summer 2022 collection that he worked on with Jonathan Anderson. After Hours Vibe, Shrine, the legendary Harlem jazz funk venue and crewers go to for special events. The GOAT, when working in the studio, there are always some points of reference that subconsciously influence my work. Maybe it is Titian or Monk. The Baddest Boy, Jordan Wolfson, age 45, based in Los Angeles, upstate New York. Gallery reps, David Zwerner and Larry Gagosian and Sadie Coles. He shows with them all. Elevator Pitch, the most ambitious artist of his generation, making provocative, awe-inspiring, interactive, unforgettable art experiences, sculptures, unclassifiable objects. Big Break, John Armlater, seeing my work at Rivington Arms Booth at Art Basel, Miami in 2003. Studio setup, Glendale, California, next to a creature effects lab where he once made his animatronic sculptures. Sticker Shock, the Tate-purchased colored sculpture 2016, reportedly for $3 million in 2018. Fancy Pants Collectors, Peter Brandt, Laurent Asher, the National Gallery of Australia. After Hours Vibe, Osteria Mozza, the classic Nancy Silverton joint in Hollywood. Am I on TikTok? A little bit. The GOAT, Ingmar Bergman. Maybe overrated. I don't like to talk down on other artists. The Spark Plug, Harold Unkart, age 45, based in Brooklyn, gallery rep Gagosian. Elevator Pitch, an heir to both the American Abex Masters and the Fauvist, who's a fast-talking bottle of endless energy, and he's Belgian. Known associates, David Breslin, Ignacio Matos, SCAD director Daniel S. Palmer. Big Break, while Unkart was working for Richard Serra, his pal Olivier Babin quit his studio practice to open the now-closed but legendary gallery Clearing, with a show of Ankart's work. Studio set up, a warehouse in Bushwick. Sticker Shock, just over $1 million for a work sold at Sotheby's in 2021. Fancy Pants Collectors, Bernard Arnault, Adrian Cheng, John Marquez, Patricia Sandrato Rebodengo. The Eye, Tyler Mitchell, age 30, based in Manhattan. Gallery rep, Gagosian, Elevator Pitch, an astonishingly young talent, perhaps the most lauded photographer of his generation, with a keen eye for black intimacy and dynamic framing. Known associates, Gagosian's Antoine Sargent, Jeremy O'Harris, Grace Wales Bonner. Big Break, I've been lucky to have several paradigm-shifting moments so far. Of course, my Beyoncé cover for Vogue in September 2018 was pivotal. Fancy Pants Collectors, Sir Elton John, you don't need anyone else. Uniform, Bode, Wales Bonner. Am I on TikTok? Nope, had to get off. Brain cells were deteriorating. The GOAT, two artists who mean a lot to me personally right now are Edouard Manet and Alice Neal. And then, of course, there's James Van Der Zee, Wolfgang Tillmans, Carrie Mae Weems, Steve McQueen, David Hammonds. See, it's impossible to pick just one. Maybe overrated? Helmut Newton. I respect the contribution, but it's never been for me. Go to Resto, Thai Diner, easy, flavorful, great location, and the staff treat me like family. The Soothsayer, Michael Armitage. Age 41, based in London, Nairobi. Gallery reps, David Zwerner, White Cube. Elevator Pitch, pushing painting forward while putting down roots in East African traditions. Big Break, a monster year in 2019. He showed at the Venice Biennale, had 8 works installed at MoMA, and in November, a work estimated to sell at a high of $70,000 instead went to $1.52 million. Studio setup, a Nairobi space near the Karura Forest north of the city, a primary studio in East London. Sticker Shock, forget about the $1.52 million sale. In May, his painting Mepicatoni sold for $2.37 million. Fancy Pants Collectors, Pinot, George Economou, Harry David. Next photo, The Baddest Boy. Jordan Wolfson poses with his red sculpture at Gagosian 980 Madison in September. The Belle Époque, Via Brooklyn, Salman Tour, age 42, based in New York. Gallery rep, Luring Augustine, elevator pitch, a Neo-Toulouse-Lautrec who makes absinthe green paintings depicting queer couples in the Edenic bars of Deep Bushwick. Known associates, pop star Ali Sethi, painter Doran Langberg, designer Sumnath Bhatt. Big break. In 2018, Whitney curators Ambika Trossi and Christopher Liu offered Tour what he thought was a show in the lobby. Wrong. It was 15 works in a dedicated space. Studio set up, a loft in Brooklyn. Sticker shock, $1.5 million for four friends at Sotheby's in November 2022. Fancy Pants Collectors, Pinot, former Phaidon CEO Keith Fox, Beth Rodin de Woody. The Discovery, Yu Nishimura, age 43, based in Japan. Gallery reps David Zwerner, Sadie Coles. Elevator pitch, a painter of figures in the middle of surreal dreams, updating the traditional Japanese method of Nihonga. Known associates, dealer Coles, dealer Marlene Zwerner, wife Ulala Imai. Big break, last year Coles decided to give over space at Berkeley Square to Nishimura's first show at the gallery. It quickly became one of the most talked-about shows in London during Frieze. Studio set up, a complex in Yamato where Imai also works. Sticker shock, Across the Place, 2023, sold for $406,400 at Sotheby's in May. Fancy Pants Collectors, Rashofsky, manufacturing titan Hiroshi Taguchi, Don and Mira Rubel. Next photo, The Moviegoer. Joseph Yeager, born in Montana but based in London, worked in a cheese shop before his big break. The Toy Wonder, Ulala Imai, age 43, based in Japan. Gallery reps, Karma, Xavier Hufkins. Elevator pitch, elevated depictions of the toys her kids play with, Chewbacca, Charlie Brown, and other quotidian objects around the house. Known associates, Rodney Nonaka Hill, Hufkins, husband Yu Nishimura. Big break, since the COVID-19 pandemic, I've started to focus more on the small, precious moments of everyday life. That shift led me to actively draw familiar everyday subjects. Studio set up, same place as Nishimura, separate space. Sticker shock, $164,413 for Weary Traveler, a painting that sold at Christie's Shanghai in 2023. Fancy Pants Collectors, Chinese collector He Jianfeng, Chicago collectors Nancy Lerner and David Frege, The Goat, Edouard Manet, The Beatles. Ice vibes. In summer, I like going to Inoshima for natural shaved ice. The ice is from Nikko and melts beautifully in your mouth. Am I on TikTok? No. The Moviegoer, Joseph Yeager, age 39, based in London but born in Montana. Gallery reps, Gladstone, Stuart Shave. Elevator pitch, a startling talent who paints gut-wrenching cinematic events and built-up layers of watercolors on gessoed canvas. Known associates, Shave, Big Break. After working at the London cheese shop La Fromagerie for 6 years, he graduated from the Royal College of Art in London in 2019, and by 2020 he was working with Project Native Informant. Sticker shock, his painting Sphinx Without a Secret sold at Phillips in London in 2024 for $265,000. Fancy Pants Collectors, Alexander V. Patalis, the founder of The Perimeter, an art space in London's Bloomsbury. After Hours Vibe, St. John. The Intimacy Coordinator, Louis Fratino, age 32, based in New York, gallery rep Sikima Maloy Jenkins, elevator pitch, knockout depictions of queer intimacy, fleshy bodies saturated with lush color. Known associates, gallery new founders Alexander Schroeder and Tilo Wormke, painter Alessandro Tioldi. Big break. After showing at smaller galleries in New York, Sikima Maloy Jenkins gave Frattino his first solo show in Chelsea in 2019. And it opened to raves. Sticker Shock, an argument sold in 2022 for $730,800. And then earlier this year, another painting, You and Your Things, sold for $756,000. Fancy Pants Collectors, Columbus, Ohio collector Pete Scantland, dentist to the art stars Avo Samulian. The self-portraitist, Sasha Gordon, age 27, based in Brooklyn. Gallery reps David Zwerner, Matthew Brown, elevator pitch, luminous enormous self-portraits that push the limits of surreality. Big break. Galleries typically find talent after they graduate from hotshot art schools. A phenom, Gordon landed in a group show at Brown's Los Angeles Gallery a full year before graduating from RISD. Studio setup, a big loft in Bushwick. Sticker Shock, somebody bid $214,200 at Christie's in 2024 for a painting called Gone Fishing, the painting that was in Brown's group show 5 years earlier. Fancy Pants Collectors, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, philanthropist Pamela and David Hornick. Next photos, Making an Impression, Salman Tour's Sumptuous Ghost Ball, 2023, Lihidi Grapes at the Vanity of Toil, 2025, Alvaro Barrington in his London studio, Release, a 2025 work by Sonia Kantorovsky, Michael Armitage's Evocative the Paradise Edict, 2019, Working at Scale, Kathleen Ryan with one of her sculptures, Reggie Burrows Hodges, Electric Mother F, 2021, Portraits and Altars, an energetic 2024 abstraction by Emma McIntyre, Florian Kruer, Circuit Maneuver 2025, Jill Malidi at work in Paris. This article will continue in the next installment. This program is intended for the blind and print impaired community. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.